Kia ora koutou, and welcome to another episode of South Pacific Muscle. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, well, I say real good because I am real good. Yeah. But you know, I've damaged my knee and I can't walk, so just getting a bit of physio and getting some things sorted there. I might have to have the small remaining bit of cartilage I've got left taken out of that knee just so I can get back squatting.
Overrated that cartilage, eh, bro?
I thought you were going to say squatting's overrated, but you've got to do that.
Yes. Hey, just out of interest, man, going to show you something that I spotted the other day. I was on this, for those people that aren't on Muscle Asylum Aussie Facebook
page,
got some cool shit, and you know what it is, eh?
I know what this is.
So good, though, isn't it? Just to watch... you know, you were talking 1983, you know, so, you know, even you and I were young fellas back then, but I certainly remember Brutal Fox and fuck, what a physique. And
yeah, man.
Amazing, eh? Such a cool routine. But I thought I'd just quickly give you a quick glimpse of that because I knew you loved the routine and I knew you loved the soundtrack.
Well, it was the music I used because I love that shit, but... Yeah. The routine back then, they put some music on and they just seemed like they freestyled it. You know, there wasn't a lot of sort of creativity. Oh, I suppose he's not bad, but creativity with the sort of transitions and that sort of thing. It doesn't look fully choreographed. It looks like they just put some music on and freestyle it.
Hard, but I actually, you know, I've always been a big fan of like choreographing it down to the T, but then I watched that recent interview with Livroni.
Kevin Livroni, yeah.
Livroni, I've just learned after all these years. And he said he just put music on and he would have four pieces or so and he would choose the one just before he went out there and just kind of go for it. And I kind of thought there was always something about his posing and I guess I can see it with Brutal Fox as well, that you just, you know, it looked very... very spontaneous and anyway, so I kind of like it.
There is a glaring difference between Kevin Livroni, Brutal Fox, and you and I.
I do.
It probably relates to the way we move as well, right?
Absolutely agree.
A little bit pale to just freestyle it, aren't we?
Yeah. Anyway, I've been doing a bit of freestyling in my posing. I've started posing practice already. Shows I don't know how many, 30 weeks away, but I thought I might as well start. Anyway, today's guest is Michael Fowles, and he's just popped up, so I'm going to bring Michael into the room, and he should be with us in any second. Probably get the shock of his life that we're already recording. How are you, Michael?
See if we got audio.
Yeah, man, we can hear you, brother.
Oh, hello. How you going?
Yeah, very well.
Full disclosure, we're recording already. So
we are. Yeah. We often have a yarn before we record, but we kind of kicked off and been watching old posing routines. So we're all hyped up for it. So good.
Oh, cool. Cool. Where's the do-rag today? Is that the do-rag?
No, bro. This one here, this is a special one. I had a LA Raiders top and... it had Raiders around the bottom, so I cut the bottom off it and turned it into a head rack.
Nice.
Classy, eh?
Yeah, I like it.
So you got to do these things when you're bald and the sweat runs in your face. Yeah. So, you know.
Starting to recede now. It's getting there.
Look, it's a badge of honour, bro. You just got to wear that shit, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
Comes with the territory. Hey, good to have you on board, bro. Nice stack of trophies in the background there, man.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah. There's a few back there.
Yeah, man.
This will be the, 20th show coming up, so.
Wow. Hey, man, look, Mike knows a bit more about your background than I do after having to do a bit of an Insta stalk, but be really cool for you to talk us through how you got into bodybuilding and tell us about some of the shows you've done.
Yeah, basically, came from a classic marathon running background, so. Yeah, started at 54 kilos, so we've come up a bit since then, and yeah. Basically, I went with a few mates from high school and they just all dropped off and I just kept going. I just loved it.
Goldie.
Yeah, we all said, oh, we're going to prep for this show. and everyone pulled out, and I just did it.
How old were you when you did that?
17. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good early start, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I started training year 16.
So you were doing marathons before that. So at 15, yes. 16, you're running marathons.
Yep, yep. One every cross country.
Full marathons, 40Ks, were just long.
Yeah, yep. Did a few of them. Mostly halves, but yeah.
Wow. And
there's not many guys that age have got that sort of perseverance. So that probably
yes. I think it carried over. Right?
Transfer. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Must like
Tom Platts in the background there. Of Mike.
Yeah, it's gold, eh? I love the hamstring photo. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Sickness. Yeah, it's gold, eh? Hey, so first show as a teenager. How'd you go on that show?
I won the show. Won the Wellingtons.
Oh, gold.
Yeah, it's up there somewhere, the medal.
Oh, fuck, that's awesome. So what year was that?
2012.
Oh, so you're a bit of a young buck then. You're still a young buck.
Yeah, I like to think so. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
bit of a veteran, sort of the number of shows. And
have you always been NZIFBB, or have you sort of chopped and changed as you've gone along?
Yeah, I started with NABBA.
So you did the NABBA Wellingtons. That's always a good show, eh?
A lot of people do, eh?
Yes, yeah. It was massive back then.
Yeah.
I think we had eight teenagers at the Nationals, that first one.
Yeah, I did it in 2000, and even then it was a good show. It was a good solid show.
How many
show.
Shows have you done?
Me, about 12, yeah. I think, from memory.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. Handful.
yep.
I intend catching up to you in the next couple of years. So, I left it a bit late, but
Never too late, man.
Absolutely. Hey, so you went on from your first show win, which is always good because I think, you've kind of got the wind in your sails, so to speak. And, just tell us how that momentum took you forward into your next sort of couple of shows and where you progressed to, and then give us a rundown because we want to know about recent time because that's really where I've seen you. I've seen you in recent shows and I've had a look at your photos in the Classic, and I kind of want to know how you transitioned into that.
Yes, yeah, definitely the momentum's a big thing, but yeah, I'm not sure. I just went into that first show just open mind and seeing how I did, and I think winning really made me love it. And we went into Nationals and took that as well. So, yeah, that was very special. That was my Olympia sort of thing.
Oh, one of those moments you always remember, eh?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And so that was 2012. Where to from there?
I went next year. I did the, what was it called back then? Manawatu? Is that what it was called back then? That was NABBA as well.
Yeah, Central North Islands, maybe.
Something like that.
I did see an article from you for the Manawatus.
It was in Palmy. I don't know what they call that area, but yeah, I did that one and that came second there and that sort of lit my fire to come back. And yeah, you need a loss, I reckon, up your sleeve. And
I should be well set then because I've had a few of them.
You don't want too many. Yeah.
And then obviously, so somewhere after that, you moved into IFBB.
Yes, actually, it was 2013, the next year. Yeah.
Cool. And how did you go in your first outing with the Federation?
I came second at that Wellingtons.
Yep.
And then won the Nationals after that. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I sort of have a habit of losing the regionals and winning the Nationals. So pick your battles.
Yeah. The right time.
Yeah.
Hey. Let's have a yarn about that because I think that's a really interesting point. Some people have got a strategy of, nailing their condition and using the regionals as a practice for what they're going to do at the Nationals. Other people go, it's a regional. I'm going to come in at 80% and I'm going to tighten up before the Nationals. We'll start with you, Michael. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It depends how, like, my body fat, especially, last year, it was just too high at Wellington, so I didn't pull any water, just went to qualify.
Cool.
I think just all depends how your prep's going.
And would you use that strategy going forward to come in and fine-tune for the Nationals, or do you think you'll have a crack at, because it's always nice to win a regional, right? Like, it's cool to walk away and go, I won the show,
So I went in with that attitude last year and still got second to bloody Andrew at the Wellingtons. So yeah, it didn't peak, but I still kind of wanted it, you know.
What's your thought, Mike?
Well, back in the 90s, I used to do the come in a little bit soft and peak for nationals because I just hated dieting. I wanted to diet for the shortest amount of time possible.
Yeah.
I came down 22 kilos in 11 weeks for the nationals in 99. As I've got older, I'm a bit more chilled with the dieting. I don't mind it so much. It's not as big a difference between off-season and in-season. So I still am planning on coming in fairly soft for the qualifiers this year because they're only about 7 weeks into my diet or 8 weeks into my 14-week prep. Yeah. Every time I have, so 2019, when I sort of thought I was going to be decent for South Island, I still look better 6 weeks later. So no matter, you know, even if you come in trying to look your best for that regional show, you're still going to look, well, in most cases, going to look better by just sort of filling up a little bit and having a few more weeks at that sort of cardio and low calories to sort of just lose those last few ounces and just tighten up a little bit. So as much as the strategy for me is just peak for nationals, I'm sure I'd be better off peaking 4 weeks earlier and then trying to sort of hold it and tighten up.
It's always the goal, like, yeah. Dieting.
Yeah, I'm not sure really. Like, you know, I've won a regional, so, you know, and I came into that regional with the intention of I'm going to put the best package I can on stage here and win this fucking competition. And I've also come in probably unintentionally, actually, a little bit off and going into a regional with a national, you know, several weeks after. But I'm not too sure on my strategy this year. I think, you know, I'm going to probably leave that to Jamie and if he decides. But I think, you know, with this year's schedule, Waikato's is only a week before the national. So, you know, if he says we're going to use the Waikato's as a qualifier, then, you know, I think I've pretty much got to be spot on. Although, you know, I've got questions about, you know, within a week, do you want to be pulling water twice? Don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Although with a good experienced coach, then you'll be much better at kind of holding and hitting that peak. Having been looking after myself in the past, I'm not entirely confident I could kind of manage that or peak or even know what the hell I'm doing at that sort of card level. So,
yes. Yeah, I did that all the way up to last year as well.
Were you coaching
in someone else's hands?
Were you doing yourself, Michael? Were you?
Yes, yep, up until last year. Yep.
And who are you working with now?
Philly Nuku. He's a local around here. Yep. You might know him around the scene.
I absolutely know Philly Nuku. He's a great man. I caught up with him at Tournament of Champions, and it was fucking really nice to see him. He's a lot more chilled out now, but he's still Philly Nuku. He was a phenomenal bodybuilder. He was, you know, when you go back to, you know, circa 2000 and that kind of period. You know, if you were talking about the top bodybuilders in the country, Philly Nuku was in that conversation. So, I actually remember, here's a memory for you. When I was in Wellington one time as a real young fella, probably before I'd ever competed, Mike, I was at McDonald's and this guy walked in next to me and fucking ordered. And I looked across and all I remember seeing there was these forearms and I went, oh my God. And I turned around and went, this is possibly the biggest guy I've ever seen. And it was Philly Nuku after all those years. So, you know, good memories.
What he was ordering?
Don't know, man, but it was a lot. Oh, cool. So he's working with you this year. The plan this year is, have you planned what shows you're doing yet? Or
Yes, it'll be Wellington's this year. Yep, Wellington's again.
Cool.
That's a pro qualifier for.
I was about to say, yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. Yep.
That's going to be
a lot of guys coming out for that.
Yes. So I'm going to try a peak for the regional there.
So is this your chance to, and I haven't spoken to Andrew Murray, but it could be a chance to one up him in the. It's your payback.
Yes. Yes. I hope so.
He's a good mate.
At nationals, so we can do it again.
He's a good mate of yours, isn't he?
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah,
I did see a photo of the two of you together at one stage, and
He's definitely a legend, you know, in the New Zealand circuit for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, what I think we might do is just quickly jump onto your Instagram, have a quick look, and have a bit of a yarn about some of the stuff on there. Right. So people, those that are keen on following another cool journey, yet another one of our fantastic athletes in New Zealand, Michael_Fowles1, you get on there on his Insta. He also has a website relating to his business. So website address for that one, Mike?
Yep, evolutionsups.co.nz. We've got the shirt here.
Yeah, mate. Evolution Supps, guys. Yep. So, you know, I'd say it about everyone. Yeah.
We'll talk a bit more about that in a bit, once we've covered off the bodybuilding.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
But I always say, guys, if you can support local bodybuilding by shopping with bodybuilders in their business, whatever brand they are. Look, I'm not affiliated to any brands, but, you know, that's my message for you guys out there, is support local bodybuilding, because these guys support us when it comes to competitions. You know,
you've got those... the old South Africa. Is that South Africa?
Oh, it's the partner, Sarah. Oh, yes, okay. Sarah Alexander.
Is this the lucky lady here?
No, that's the old girl filter.
I saw it when it was small. I thought, fuck, your missus is jacked as shit.
No.
Oh, that's cool, bro. I'm just gonna go for a bit of a quick troll down. I like this photo. Tournament of Champions, yeah?
Wellington's.
Oh, the nutrition system sponsor Wellington's as well.
Yeah, yep, they did.
Cool. Where'd you place? Is that the one you came second to Andrew at that one?
Yes. Yep, that's the one.
Yeah. Fuck, you look good there, bro. Look really good.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a hard balance getting that sort of fullness when I dry out.
Yeah. Sorry,
your colour's really good there. What product did you use there?
Protein.
Yeah, nice, eh? Just kind of that kind of almost orange, but not quite, not like the old days with the old protein.
Yeah, it came out good, eh, that show?
Yeah, man. Good lighting, too. I noticed, like, one of your older pictures, there's an older picture, and you came in probably a little bit drier, a little bit harder, but I don't know whether, you know, like, looking at this photo, I think sometimes the fullness actually suits some physiques. What's your sort of take on that?
Yeah, I've always sort of placed a lot better when I come in. I'd rather come in flat and conditioned than sort of full. I think when I try to compete with the bigger dudes, it's just never goes well.
Yeah, it's probably a good lesson there, is a bit about playing to your strengths, you know, like, and I think, you know, like a lot of us that really struggle to be massive, but like really like that, you know, try to play the size game and, you know, usually to our detriment. So,
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, I found myself trying to fill up muscle that wasn't there. So I just spilled over.
That's right. That's exactly what happened at that Wellington's.
Hey, so your new business, just quickly while I've got that up there, this only opened a couple of months ago, isn't it?
December, yep.
Awesome, man. Is it something that you always sort of saw yourself being involved in the industry in some way, shape, or form?
I've always been into, lifting in the gym, and this opportunity came up. So, yeah, now that I'm in it, it's definitely the dream job. And
whereabouts are you guys based?
Aloha. In Wellington, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Nice new store. Looks great, man. Looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's awesome signage, eh?
Yeah, it's very, very cool. We'll have to next time I'm down there, because I've got our offices in Lower Hutt, so I'll pop in.
Definitely.
Right, have a quick scroll through these, because there's some goodies in here. Hey, what was the deal with the Ferrari, bro? Tell me the story behind that.
It's basically a $1,000 Toyota, and I put some Ferrari stickers on it.
Is it your aim?
If you look closely, it's just a donkey.
Is it your aim to have a Ferrari at some stage?
Oh, definitely. Do you know, one day.
I'll tell you a true story. A friend of mine always wanted a Ferrari, and he was a pretty handy fucking bodybuilder, and he went and checked some out when he was overseas, and he actually couldn't fit in them. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah. Uh, Yeah, just frame wise couldn't fit in it. And mate of mine down your way's got a vet. And even that, like, I looked at it, I thought, fuck, that would be incredibly fucking uncomfortable driving around in that. Looked great, but I think that's maybe why the big boys are all going for trucks now.
Yeah, yep. Now I've had that one since 2013, so that's the baby.
is that one getting passed on to the grandkids?
Oh, 100%. Yep.
Oh, good shit. Yeah, I'm just trying to find this. There's a great photo. Oh, this actually, sorry, I want to find, there was up here somewhere, there's a bit of a transformation photo, isn't there?
Oh, yes. Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, that's it. Well, talk us through that, man.
Basically, what was it, 8 years? Yeah, first show on the left and then my last show on the right.
So you had a good set of sticks on you early on, though, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and the calves, obviously. Probably put that down to all the running you were doing, maybe.
Yeah, that's the one.
Gold. Yeah.
Could probably do it a bit more now, but it's all right.
Getting there. What's your stats were, like weight wise, height wise, all that kind of thing?
In the photo, I was 77 at Nationals.
Yep.
So I came down pretty light.
What's your cutoff for Classic?
84.
Oh, cool. So you got a bit of room to play with.
Yeah. I lost a bit in COVID, of course.
Yeah.
A few kilos, probably 4 kilos.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to be probably 81 this year. Get it all back on.
Fuck, extra 4 kilos on stage. That'll look good.
Oh, man. Every kilo makes a difference, eh, when you're a smaller dude.
Massively, man, massively. Right, I'm going to jump off that one. Mike, I'm going to hand over to you, and let's have a bit of a dig around and some training stuff, eh?
Oh, training? Are we going to talk training? I thought we were going to go supplements next. Yeah, look, well, let's. Has your training, when you started, evolved over any way? Do you go high intensity? Do you like volume? I mean, talk us through sort of how you started training and how that's sort of changed as you've got sort of bigger and more experienced.
Yeah, early on it was definitely a case of overtraining, I think. It was, I think it helped sort of getting that mind-muscle connection and everything early on. But I've definitely backed off.
Those movement patterns?
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
so when the load comes on, you kind of got pretty solid movement patterns?
Yeah, but yeah, there's no reason to spend like 3 hours in the gym now, you know.
I
remember going to the magazines and going, oh, that looks good, I'll add that. Oh, that looks good, I'll add that. Yeah. That looks good. I'll end up with these sort of 2 hour workouts.
Oh, you had to go in the gym and do every leg machine there was. So.
Interesting point, guys. Like, I think I'm just sort of sitting back listening to that. And, we talk about how, you know, we kind of think of our early workouts, you know, as young fellas as somewhat unproductive because we spent so much time in there doing so many exercises, so many sets. But do you think if we hadn't done those, that we wouldn't have established the form and the technique and the mind-muscle connection that you mentioned, Michael, that has allowed us to achieve what we have achieved using a more refined technique that perhaps makes a bit more sense?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, mind-muscle connection, definitely. Yeah, you got to pound it into yourself almost.
Yeah, I mean, when you get fatigued, your movement patterns or your skills sort of start to break down to the more well ingrained that is. I mean, it's like your swimmers who are swimming a 100-meter race, they're in the pool for 2 hours going over and over and over, so that when there's a little bit of fatigue sets in, their hand position is still perfect, their elbow position is still perfect, they're still getting good power transfer through there because their skill has been so well ingrained that they can do it even when fatigued. So I guess that's the sort of thing that we're talking about in our youth, doing tons and tons and tons and tons of volume and reps, that we've just ingrained those movement patterns so that now when the load comes on and the fatigue comes on, theoretically we're still operating in a pretty good groove and low risk of injury.
So I'll put this one to you. What do you think, you know how we kind of say, you know, would say to a young guy, look, you're doing too much, you don't need to be in the gym for 3 hours, here's your workout, you know, and I want you out in 45 minutes. Do you think in some respects we could be doing them a disservice in the long run in terms of, sure, they might progress a bit more quickly with, you know, with a more intense sort of approach of shorter period of time. But do you think it's necessary, and maybe we shouldn't, we should say cut loose for a year or so and do 3-hour workouts and do as many reps and sets as you possibly can, and then we'll refine it after that?
That's a tough one.
I'd probably be more inclined to shorten the rest down. You can get, you know, if you're doing 30 seconds to a minute rest, you can still get sort of 30 sets in an hour. So you could make it sort of hour-long workouts instead of 2-hour workouts and still get plenty of sets and reps. And if you're not using intensity techniques, you're doing straight sets. It might be, you know, 5 sets of 10 on the bench or something like that, but no force reps. And then you move on to the next exercise. So, you know, you could sort of have a hybrid of both.
Well, here's a question for you now. You maybe start thinking now, which is fucking always a dangerous sign. You know, we talk about having 30 to 1 minute rest. Now, you know, that's quite often people say that. And I think people, it's almost a throwaway comment, because does anyone actually do 30 second rests?
Yeah, I think so. I'm very much a fan of short rest breaks.
Yeah. 30 seconds, though, like when you stop, you put that on a stopwatch. You know, if I do a set of, say, look, I won't go RDLs or squatting, because big exercise, we know the rest period is going to be longer. But let's say something, and let's not take a pissy exercise like a leg extension or something. Even to failure, you can turn that around pretty quick. But sort of like a middle of the road exercise, let's say, you know, a chest supported row movement. If you smack out 4 plates a side and you bust out 6 to 8 reps, maybe whatever more, if you know you're a stronger guy, are you realistically going to be able to turn that around in 30 seconds and then do your drop set with 3.5 plates?
Yeah, I think you've nailed it there. It depends the intensity you're going for and the weight. Mm. Like if I'm doing a higher rep, you know, sort of pump style workout, it'll definitely be shorter rest. Yep. But often I'll do, you know, strength work. It'll be, 1 to 2 minutes sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're doing 4 plates a side, you're not going to try and do 30 seconds to a minute rest, are you?
Oh, no way. No way.
So I've been starting off my bicep workouts with straight sets, doing 10 sets of 10 on the minute. So I go in, and I won't tell you how embarrassingly light the weight is, but I go in there thinking, oh, I could do 15 or 20 on this, but I just do 10. And it takes me about sort of 25 seconds to finish that set. And I've got the stopwatch in front of me. And when the minute finishes, I get about 35 seconds rest on that one. And then by about set 5, I'm sort of going, this is starting to hurt. By about set 7 or 8, I'm cheating a couple. And by the end, I might get 5 or 6 reps. And I'm doing some pretty ugly ones to finish off my set of 10. And that's just using the same weight right the way through. So keeping it. And by then, I'm sort of down about 25 seconds rest, because it's taking me 35 seconds to finish the set. And they just blow up fatigue. I don't know how beneficial that is for growth, but I'm getting a lot of blood in there. I'm getting a lot of fatigue. And then I'll go off and I'll do sort of some incline dumbbell curls, but I'll go heavy and I'll have longer rests in between. So I'm sort of mixing it around like that. But that, keeping that rest legitimately short, that fatigue builds up very, very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. I do tend to agree with you. You know, I think a small muscle group, yes. A larger muscle group on a really isolated exercise. A large muscle group on a fairly big, compoundy type movement, you're going to be struggling. I think you know, anyone who's going in under a minute probably hasn't taken that set to the, you know, to the limit, because, you know, I've been getting a lot of feedback on training that, you know, my workout should be taking me 2 hours, and I'm thinking, fuck, I'm knocking them out in 1.25 hours. So, you know, am I taking shorter rests, or am I just doing less warm-ups because I'm lazy? So yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one, that timing thing though. I might actually measure it just to see, just as a exercise. And you know,
yeah, I think now you got me thinking, like over the years I've added in more, like when I was younger it was just straight sets. Hmm. And now there's more more intensifiers, more negatives, more drop sets, that sort of style. Hmm. I think that helps shorten the workouts as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I have done a you know, for 4 or 5 months, I did a progressive overload where every single set except the activation exercises at the start were a progressive overload. And that, that style of training required that you had longer rest, because even between your top set and your drop down set, you know, you were pretty fatigued. But you're right, now I sort of do a hybrid where I do the progressive overload exercises first and then into the intensifiers, and the rest in those sets tends to be a lot shorter. And it does, I get through the progressive overload stuff and I think, woohoo, I'm on the downward, I can go home pretty soon. So it probably saves a bit of time doing those things.
Yeah, definitely.
Radio Mike, over to you.
Oh yeah, thanks. Same with nutrition. What have you learned or changed in nutrition over the years? Have you tried different things, keto, carb cycling, that sort of thing?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've tried every diet over the years, for sure.
Yeah.
Like that's first. What's that? Sorry.
Sorry. What do you find most effective? I'm sure you're going to go on and tell us anyway. But
yeah, that's like my first couple of shows. It was a classic, you know, keto, drop the carbs out, and yeah, I think as you get bigger, you just gotta, you know, have the energy to do the work. And yes, it's
so your diet prep is like a sort of progressive slow calorie cut, carb cut over time.
Yep. That's the one.
Yep.
I try to keep in as much as possible.
Seems like tried and true sort of approach for most people. Interesting today, Mike. I had a conversation with a guy that was trying to sell me on the benefits of the carnivore diet, and he was saying about having no carbs, and I think he had 900 grams of red meat a day. He's only a smaller guy. And I was thinking, how the hell do you do a workout with, and these guys, they do a lot of work, but I'm not sure it's as intense. It's probably more drawn out over a longer period of time where you can, you know, access that energy from fat. But how do you think something like that would go with a bodybuilding prep?
Yeah, I found on the keto that the training was impossible. Some people find more energy. I couldn't do it. Just no energy, no pump. The body was just flat as a pancake.
You've had a shot at keto, Mike, haven't you?
No. I was planning on having a crack at it this off season, but I haven't got to it yet. I was going to.
Yeah, I think I heard that
from Minicamp.
Yeah.
But I tried some carb cycling recently, and I've just gone away from that and started just pushing the food back up, finding that I'm a lot fuller, my weight's sort of coming up and so on. So I'll just have to see how the body fat sort of copes with that. But I haven't really felt the need. I've sort of taken my blood glucose levels and I haven't really sort of lost insulin sensitivity, so I haven't really felt the need to sort of do a mini cut yet. But I guess I'm still... was going to start cutting in July, so I've still got 3 months, so I'll sort of see how I go.
What do you think of the carb cycling?
I don't know that I had a big enough difference between. There was probably only 1,000 calories difference, so sort of 250 grams of carbs. I was talking to Sean King, and he's about just over 2,000 calorie difference, so his low days are much lower than his high days.
Yeah.
I just didn't really like my fire, didn't really feel like I was sort of depleting and filling, didn't really, my sort of scale weight and things weren't really kind of doing the right things. My body fat measurements were a little bit all over the place, so didn't really find too. Sort of did it for me.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I tried to bring that in halfway through Nationals prep last year, and the digestion just went to crap, so
interesting you guys both had the same experience here, because it's not something I've done, but I have got the feeling it's something that's going to be coming, because, you know, at the moment I'm doing what you're doing, Mike. I'm pushing and pushing and pushing, and the carbs are going up and up and up. And I guess there's going to be a point that, you know, my appetite's starting to dull now after 7 weeks. And I guess the approach is you either take a drastic cut or you start some sort of carb cycling. So if you guys are finding it was a bit of a roller coaster and you felt like you were depleting and then refilling and, you know.
Well, I didn't really feel like I was flattening out and then refilling. I mean, that's sort of what I was hoping might happen. Okay. In theory, then when I want to start trimming back, I just have more low carb days and less until, you know, ideally when you're prepping, you're sort of right near the end, you're having say one high carb day a week or so, but it sort of didn't quite work that way for me. So I'm kind of, I was sort of going back to what I know has worked for me in the past, which is those sort of progressive sort of cuts through the diet period. But just on that, for those who are listening, if there's anybody listening, it's important that you don't cut more than you have to. You don't cut for the sake of cutting. You keep as many calories in as long as you possibly can to try and hold your metabolism up and your muscle mass up. What I've found has worked for me is I've generally sort of cut or manipulated cardio to change my calorie balance for probably 3-4 weeks when I sort of feel like my metabolism started to slow, and that's pretty subjective. I'll chuck in some high intensity cardio and bump the food up a little bit, maybe sort of a week or two back, and the extra calorie burn generally keeps my calorie balance the same, but speeds my metabolism up, and that gives me a little bit more room to play. So it's sort of down, 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 up, down, 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 up, and that sort of helps keep the food a little bit higher through the diet as well.
Hey, you know, you said subjective, and you know, I guess I always look to try and find objective evidence for these sort of things. Now, you're measuring your blood glucose in the morning, right? Fasted blood glucose?
At times, yeah.
Yeah. Did the carb cycling have an effect on that?
No, not really.
Okay. And for anyone that wants to do that, because it's not something that I currently do, but it's something I want to do going forward, what do you do in terms of how do you go about getting testing kits and all that kind of stuff? What's the go?
Just the local pharmacy had cost $30. I bought there was a couple of different versions. The one I bought could also do ketones as well. Yep. And you just buy the kit, the little tester was $30, I think, and the strips, 50 strips, were about $20. Sweet. And you sort of poke one in the end and put a drop of blood on the end of it, and it sort of measures your blood glucose.
You ever done that?
Simple and easy.
You had a crack at that, Michael?
No, not the blood glucose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never.
The reason I asked that is because, you know, as I say with myself, you know, I've been ramping carbs, and I'm starting to lose the appetite, and I've just got in the back of my mind, I wonder what's happening with my insulin sensitivity. You know, in the morning I wake up and I'm not as hungry as usually. I wake up, I'm ravenous, and I'm not as hungry, and I'm thinking, wonder what my blood sugar's doing. So
do you break your bulk up into like 6 week blocks and then do like a week of deficit?
No, so I've taken a different, really different approach this year. So we did a pretty big recomp from 120 odd kilos untrained to, I got down to 94, and I put on a fair bit of muscle, but I was flat as a pancake because I'd been in deficit for, it was 28 and a half weeks from memory. And from there, what our approach has been is to just trickle carbs in bit by bit, in order to kind of, you know, the rebound you're getting after a show. So usually that sort of lasts 4 odd weeks, and then week 5 you look like a bunch of fucking crap. So
that's right. Yep.
So what our approach is to drag that period out where you can put on significant muscle and not a lot of fat, and try the aim is we're going to try and get 12 weeks out of that. We're at week sort of 7 coming into week 8 now, and you know, the carbs have gone up slowly but steadily. And, you know, my body weight initially was, even when we were upping the carbs, was still dropping, and my body fat was coming down. And so we pushed it again, and it was sort of held, and then we pushed it again. And finally it started, you know, creeping up, and it's actually doing a bit more than a creep now, Mike. I haven't told you about it, but the body fat's still staying very low. So I guess, you know, at some point, it's just going to be diminishing gains, and I'll start putting on the fat. But I kind of wanted to sort of investigate the insulin sensitivity while I'm going through that. So I've got some, although it's kind of anecdotal and it just relates to me, it's something that I've got as a reference tool for myself going forward and for others that are going to be going through that same process. So it's sort of a very different approach than the old bulk and then into a cut. You know, it's almost like a grow into the show type of approach, very much like, I guess, if you followed like the likes of Hollingshead and Jamie and co, and the boys in the UK, they their approach seems to be completely different. So it's been a great learning curve, and I'm kind of sold on it, you know, but I at the same time, it's a great learning experience for me. So I want to capture that information and take my learnings from it.
Yeah, I attempted to do that sort of keep the body fat down after nationals. And as soon as I found out there was no pro-am, I just blew out. Lost that discipline.
Hey, yeah. Look, really interesting point. And I don't know all of the scientific terms behind it, but a bit of an understanding of it. When you come out of a show, essentially your body's gone and you've been in a starvation state. And I once spoke to a clinical dietitian and I said, after the show, I cannot control my eating. You know, I just can't. I just eat. Once I start eating, it's all on. And I said, how do I stop that from happening? And the answer was, you can't. And that was kind of a thing for me. I went, well, what do you mean you can't? And they said, look, it's to do with your brain. It's the primitive part of your brain, very instinctual. It tells you to go out, fill up your stores, fill up your fat reserves, because it knows you're coming into another period of starvation. So, you know, back for caveman days, you eat up while you can before you're being chased by T-Rexes and stuff like that. So I said,
glad to hear you do the same. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh no, look, everyone does. And I said, so I said, you can't stop it. And they said, apparently it lasts for somewhere between 4 and 5 weeks. And if you can just manage it for that period, then you're okay. So I guess the trick coming out of a show is a very well-planned reverse diet, I suppose, the way I'd like to, because I think it's very dangerous, particularly for girls that come out of a show. There's a very high risk of developing eating disorders and body image disorders because of the whole, you know, whereas guys, we go, fuck it, we're bulking, we'll get big. And it's really, you know, it's a bit of an excuse to get big and fat. But I think it's really important to have that escape plan or a reverse diet sort of out of that show. And if you can get sort of past that 4 or 5 week mark, then, you know, you can probably have a bit more flex in your diet without going and, you know, eating 4,000 calories at a meal type thing.
Yeah.
Feeling sick for the next 2 days. So,
but aren't you just going to do as you're told? Eat what Jamie tells you to eat?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Look, you know, for me nowadays, it's a different kettle of fish because, you know, I've only got X amount of years left to do what I want to do. So I haven't got time to get fat and do all those things
anymore. So when you take that choice away, it's not, you know, shall I go and have another burger? It's, you know, this is on my plan. Yeah. Jamie's got a plan for me coming out the other side. I've got to stick to that.
100%. And I guess that's my kind of message is, you know, that it's not something that if you just hope you're going to get through it, you know, your brain's going to override that. So unless you've got a plan in place to deal with that 4 or 5 week period, you know, you're probably asking for trouble. So yeah
often there's no reason not to. Oh, should I have that burger? Should I have that bit of cake? Oh, there's no reason not to now.
That's right. Yeah.
Look, yep. Most of us, and I think it, you know, goes without saying, probably if you go back to when we were first competing, Mike, everyone that came out of a show, it was like, woohoo, dieting's over, and you had no idea what you're eating or when you just went and trained and you just fucking ate and you made the most of eating all the food you couldn't eat before, which was, you know, kind of a recipe for disaster for your short-term health and for your body comp after about 4 weeks. So,
yeah, you always worry, though, if you restrict your calories after a show, am I compromising my rebound? Am I compromising my muscle growth? You know, maybe I'm missing out on some muscle by not eating enough after the show. My weight's not coming up.
Drag it out, man.
If you're super lean, like really competition shredded, you actually lost a lot of the fat around your internal organs too, and your body kind of wants to put that on for health and safety. So my theory behind it was always, you know, however sort of misguided it might have been, that when you start eating again after the show, the reason sort of 2 or 3 weeks you still look peeled, you're just full as anything, is that your body's putting the fat back on around those internal organs first before it starts putting subcutaneous fat back on. So, you know, a week after the show, you're going, oh my God, I could eat whatever I want and stay shredded. This is amazing. And then after a couple of weeks, like, my abs are starting to smooth over.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever get that, like when you're really in condition, that you lose that?
No.
Fat? The fat in the pads in your feet, and you get real sore feet just walking around.
I had that at nationals. Yeah,
horrific, eh? You never think about
the first time
losing the fat under your feet. You know, never had that, Mike.
I haven't been that lean recently. I'll let you know in October.
Good shit. Talking about. talking about October, Michael, you tell, so plans for this year and slightly longer term plans. Where's your head at, man?
Sorry, what was that? I missed it. It's raining here.
I'll be pouring down there.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So going into this year and then longer term, what's your game plan, man? What are your goals? What are you looking to achieve in the sport?
Well, I like to think I'll get the pro card this year. That's ideal. But we'll just keep going until we get it, man. That's the plan. And
love it.
Yeah, keep growing and hit that weight cap.
Yeah. You got a few more shots at it than me and Nate.
Is there a pro card at Nationals as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, so there's okay. two opportunities this year. So I had a look on the calendar, and I, you know, don't quote me on this, people, but I believe that Bikini, Wellness, and Classic have pro qualifiers throughout the year, and as well as at the Nationals. Unfortunately, Mike, there is no... there's only one shot for the open bodybuilders, so, you know.
And how does that affect me?
Oh,
it affects you. There's one for figure too. The South Island's in Christchurch. Yeah.
Who do you think is going to take it this year in bodybuilding?
Nathan Williams.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting year because a lot of the guys that were the, you know, like last year, as misguided as it was, the conversation was all around Paris and Ants. And
that's then, right.
Then Dan came in and just, you know, like, he well and truly deserved that. Ants and Paris were fantastic as well. And, you know, look, the future for those two boys is, you know, I think there's pro card there for both of them at some stage. It's a matter of when that happens. But if they're not competing this year, it kind of leaves it a little bit wide open. I mean... You've got guys.
Anthony's like, not competing, is he?
No.
That's right.
So, I mean, you've got guys like Ryan down in Wellington. If he gets in shape, look, that guy's just amazing, man. I'll put it out there. He is the one guy in New Zealand I don't want to go on stage against. I love you, Ryan, but you know, as much as I respect everyone else in the game, the guy is just amazing. If Ryan's here, you know, and comes in shape, I think Ryan's got a really good shot. The other one that people probably don't think about, because they always think about the big boys, is Andrew Murray, because he's just so complete. You know, if he goes in the Open, he could easily win the Open. I think there's probably another couple. Big Ephraim, I don't know if you know Ephraim from Hawke's Bay. Yep. So he announced the other day that he is making a comeback and he is going to do the NZIFBB, and he looks jacked, man.
Was he talking smack about you?
Nah.
Well, didn't you guys have something going on?
Nah, not at all, man. We're fucking mates from way back. But I said to him, I messaged him actually, and I said, look, it'll be fantastic to compete against you, because he has made comments in the past. He said, you know, when I was a young fella, I remember you being peeled out of your mind. And he goes, I always wanted that. And I just go, I took him for one of his first posing lessons, and I went, fuck, you might say that, but I just wished I had as much mess as you've got, you know. So him and I are quite opposite in that respect. You know, I'm the fine bone guy that can get peeled. He's the guy that has just got slabs of meat, like, you know, his chest is just so big. So if I messaged him today and I said, look, dude, you've got all the tools. If you can dial in that condition, you're going to be unstoppable on stage. So it could be a dark horse like Big Ephraim if he comes in and he could win it. All I know,
I can't wait.
Yeah, there'll be an old guy in the background there somewhere. But I don't know who else is out there. I mean, look, in any given year, if Kagan Auden decided he wanted to do Federation, he could get his work up.
Yeah. Yes.
But you know, there's a bunch of guys out there now. I just scroll through Instagram and I'm looking at some of our athletes. And I'm thinking, fuck, there's some talent, man. We are a melting pot. You know, New Zealand is just full of, particularly the Māori and Pacific Island guys. You know, they just have the propensity to put on so much muscle tissue. You know,
oh, definitely
outstanding.
Yeah, I competed against Matthias a few years ago. He's phenomenal. Yeah,
he's really something. I competed against him when he did his first show. And I remember saying to everyone that, look, if this guy can nail his conditioning, he will be unstoppable. And then I didn't actually realize it was the same guy when he went on stage. And I'm like, who is this guy? And they told me that I'd beat him in the top of the South when he was 18. But even at 18, he was massive. And like the potential, if we're judging a show on potential at that point, no one else would have been on stage. It was all about him because he really... You know, and look, he's won twice, hasn't he, from memory?
Yes, he won. What did he win? South Islands and Nationals.
Is he turned down a pro card though, didn't he?
Did he really?
I believe because he won Mr. New Zealand, and I'm thinking, wow, he's our next pro. And look, you know, again, like just like Ryan, you know, Matthias, it's just you know, if he gave him 2 years and you put him on a pro stage internationally. I mean, the guy's gifted. I mean, people make references to Phil Heath all the time when they look at his physique. So, be exciting. But I think he's backed off a bit and he's just sort of cruising a bit and, you know, probably enjoying life a bit. But talent, man. Anyone else out there you think of? Sean King? Is he competing? No, he's a year off, isn't he?
Competing this year.
Year off. Yeah. What about the big guy that competed at Tournament of Champions? Big Jay.
Who's the guy that won Classic there? He was on. Ooh. I can't think of his name.
My brain's not
yeah,
not coming up with it
at the moment.
The guy that won the guy that came second, I think, in one of the classes, the guy James is a great big guy, about 6'1". I think he might be a South African guy, but he had slabs of muscle on him. He came in pretty soft at that show, but potential wise, you know, if that guy came in and dialed it in for, you know, he'd be hard pressed standing next to someone with that much muscle.
Oh, yes. Yep. I remember that dude.
But then, you know, it could always be another Dan Hibbs out there, you know, someone that sneaks in under the radar, because we always tend to forget about the smaller guys. But, you know, when you put them on stage next to the big guys, and they're just so complete and so conditioned.
Yep. He's actually my wallpaper on my phone. Getting ready for this show.
Actually, yep. we've got to get Dan Hibbs on because, you know, like he, you know, you talk about, you know, giant killers and everyone talks about who the giant, you know, they say Daddy Padilla and I think Lee Priest has got to be the giant killer of all time. But, you know, in New Zealand bodybuilding, Dan Hibbs is the giant killer. You know, he is... he has beaten so many guys, I think, you know, and what does he weigh?
Down in the 60s?
Yeah, somewhere around there, man.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
This
is awesome. So conditioned.
Yeah.
And being a natty too, he's got a very, very clean physique, you know. His lines are really tight. You know, his skin's fucking great. You know, there's no fucking lumps and bumps and all the rest of it. And, you know, he's a class act. So, Dan Hibbs, if you're listening, get on the phone, bro. We're going to get a hold of him. Right. Hey, we're probably due to wrap up pretty soon, man. But as always, Michael, your chance to do a bit of a shout out to any of your crew, any of your people that train with you, some people that have supported you along the way.
Yes. Obviously, my beautiful partner, Sarah, and Coach Philly, yeah, all the family, and yeah, all the Instagram and Facebook, you know, supporters. And yeah. It's all very positive, and let's keep it up. Keep encouraging each other, and awesome. Yeah,
awesome, man. Hey, people out there, have a great week training. Get out there, smash some PRs, and remember, we've got comps coming up 2 weeks' time. We've got the ICNs week after that. I think there's a NABBA show and a Federation show shortly after. So we're going to get to some of those shows, and we will see you there. But stay safe in the meantime.
Catch up. Thanks for having me.